Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks slipping from records, the S&P lower, a little change. The dollar is retreating as investors weigh renewed threats from North Korea. Oil, top $50 a barrel for the first time in a month right now. West Texas Intermediate crude, $49.96. Higher by 1.3%. Gold up 440 the ounce, up 0.3% to 1328. We've got the 10-year down 2/32. The yield 2.20%. S&P down 2 points to 2496, down 0.1%. Dow Industrials up 39, up 0.2%. NASDAQ down 23, a drop there of 0.4%. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
All right, Charlie Pellett, thank you so much. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets. Carol Masser, along with my co-host Corey Johnson, right here on Bloomberg.
Your love lifted me higher than I've ever been lifted before.
Well, lifting costs look a lot more attractive when the price of oil is above $50. Rob Hayworth joins us right now, the senior investment strategist at U.S. Bank. Lifting costs, of course, is an oil industry term for what it costs to get the oil from the ground to the surface and into a barrel. And Rob, at $50 a barrel, that starts to change the math for a lot of companies out there. It's a magic number.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does, especially as you look out into forward contracts. I think we're on the one hand, we've seen some improvement in global supply demand balance. There is still an industry out there looking to put capital to work to drill more oil, barrels of oil, and $50 a barrel still seems like a viable price for them to be able to produce a meaningful profit. So I think we're going to eventually here see a supply response, especially out of the U.S.
All right. So what does does that do to the oil price then? Are we back below easily $50 then?
The demand picture is really pretty good, and it's going to take some time for supply to come back online. We're seeing that in the impact from the hurricane, where it's taking a number of weeks for refineries to get restarted, to start taking down those oil inventories again, although production has rebounded pretty quickly here inside of a week. But so I think we've still got some upside here, but there will be a limit to that upside range because of supply coming online. So our view is still we're pretty range bound between the mid 40s and mid 50s for a while here kind of a U.S. supply response that's possible at these higher prices. And two, what does OPEC start to do as prices get to a level that are comfortable for them? Can they maintain these production cuts?
When you monitor production, you talked about production coming back on. Let me get like into the weeds here. What exactly do you look at when you get to your Bloomberg terminal? What do you type in?
What I'm really looking at is two things. One, I'm looking at overall U.S. oil production, and two, I'm looking at rig counts. Rig counts are that important indicator of are we investing more money in rigs. And with prices staying below $50 for the last month or two, you've seen rig counts start to not just slow down but start to fall here from an oil investment perspective. With prices working back higher, I think we'll see more rig counts eventually here over the next 3 months as companies start to plan ahead again on their investment.
So, Corey, did you pull it up on the terminal? Do you rig go?
Yeah,
I'm looking at in the U.S., our current is about 944. Previous was 943. Canada was 202. Currently 201. Previously, Gulf of Mexico, we haven't seen any kind of changes in North America overall.
Yeah.
Pretty much staying consistent too. But you say that's going to change.
I think with prices getting back higher, companies do have capital to deploy. There is still money looking for a home here to get good return on capital. So our view would be. that these prices are sufficient for companies to start looking ahead to invest. And it will take a couple of months for the data to start to reflect that. As we know, it takes time for oil rigs to get set up, deployed, and start drilling. So,
yeah, the total U.S. crude production dropping in the two reports ago by 8%. As I look at those numbers on the Bloomberg Terminal, I look at the U.S. Department of Energy crude oil total production data. But, man, zooming, as you point out, zooming right back up again in just looks like 1 week's time.
Yeah, I mean, I think what that tells us is a lot of the impact from Hurricane Harvey was really in the refinery space, and the Permian didn't see as much damage. They obviously had to evacuate, shut down, take care of their workers, but it appears that they're coming back fairly quickly, and hopefully refineries can catch up.
Hey, let me ask you something, Rob. A story in the Bloomberg today, it just talks about how activist investors have kind of declared open season on the energy companies. They talk about Paul Singer and his Elliott Management taking stakes, among others, in energy companies, including NRG Energy, BHP Billiton. So we're seeing some movement, by investors who are kind of picking companies they believe are being mismanaged. They're kind of swooping in, you know, to slash spending, turn a quick profit. How, on the equity side of things, how is that impacting things, or how do you see that impacting the equity side of the energy story?
I'm probably of the view that that's not a big industry trend. I think it's going to hit a few of the niche players. That washout we had in terms of high yielded energy costs, or the cost of borrowing for below investment grade companies, I think really reset the space pretty well to be a better player, a more financially savvy player. Mm-hmm. Got rid of some expensive debt. They were able to reset their cost of capital. And so I think for a lot of companies, they're in pretty good shape. There are probably a few where their strategy isn't quite as clear for what is a pretty new environment for the oil space, where a lot of it is focused on shale plays rather than deep water drilling or things like that.
As we look at that, I mean, some things start to make more sense at this oil price. Do you expect other plays to come in? Do we know much about the impact of offshore at this point, which has been expensive and maybe not a big emphasis, but that could change?
I think we'd have to get well past this current trading range. I think we need to get to a point where OPEC's producing what they want, and we're starting to price in those extra marginal barrels. I haven't seen evidence that costs have dropped enough yet for more complex drilling structures. I think there's still more room to run in these shale plays, whether it's other regions of the U.S. or even outside the U.S.
All right, we're going to run. Hey, Rob, thanks so much. Nice to check in with you. Rob Hayworth, he's senior investment strategist at U.S. Bank. They've got $142 billion in assets under management. Rob joining us to talk about the energy sector on the phone in Seattle. If I take a look at WTI crude futures, right now up 1.2%, up 58 cents, trading at $49.88 a barrel. That's after about a 2.2% gain in yesterday's session. You're listening to Bloomberg Markets. Carol Masser, Corey Johnson, and we are Bloomberg.